Sorry, Mr. Hayes, is that correct? Mr. Gunzel, you're also here. Do either of you have any questions before we begin? Very good. Then, Mr. Gunzel, you may approach and you may proceed.
May it please the court, Mr. Chief Justice, Associate Justices, Counsel. My name is Steve Gunzel, and I'm appearing this morning on behalf of the plaintiffs and the appellants, Stone Land and Livestock Company, and its owners, Richard Stone and Deborah Garrison. Deborah Garrison is the middle in the front row behind me to the left. We are requesting that this court reverse the dismissal of the Lancaster County District Court order and remand this case for further proceedings. The facts of this case are extremely simple. The plaintiffs filed suit against the defendants alleging professional negligence. Approximately a month after the filing of the complaint, the defendants filed an appearance of counsel. Approximately 1 year later, the Lancaster District County District Court dismissed the case on the basis that there had been no service of process on the defendants. Your Honors, I intend to address 2 points this morning. First, the appearance of counsel filed by the defendants was an express declaration of appearance that should waive service of process under 25.516.01.
Have we ever said that before?
I'm sorry?
Have we ever said that before?
Not that I'm aware of. I will address in a moment a very similar situation that the Nebraska Court of Appeals handled. But the point is that voluntary appearances can be express or implied. Implied is when the defendant does something that rises to the level of a general appearance that is considered a voluntary appearance. There's been a lot of ink spilled in this case on whether or not the appearance of counsel in this case was an implied voluntary appearance. The plaintiff's position is that it was an express voluntary appearance. We don't have to get to the implied part. It was expressed for a number of reasons. First of all, this was a pleading by the defendants, not just their lawyer, as their brief tries to argue. If you go to e-file a document under the court's justice e-filing system, you first identify the court in the case, then you identify the person making the filing. Third, you upload the document. You cannot upload the document without identifying the party for whom that pleading is being made. By definition of the justice system, this was a filing by the defendants.
So isn't that there was no way to e-file an appearance by the attorney without it being an appearance by the party?
Your Honor, that's absolutely true. There is no way for the defendant's lawyers to have done what they claimed that they did in this case. It's not allowed. If I'm interested in some case because it's similar to one that I have, I can't go to justice and sign up and get automatic pleadings. I can't do that. Justice requires filings by the parties, not just by the only pleading I can think of that a lawyer files alone is a motion to withdraw. And obviously that wasn't the case here. By their entering the appearance, they would have needed leave of court for them to withdraw. They were part of the case, and it was the defendant's filing. And if that's not clear from justice, it's clear from what they filed. Because if you look at what they filed, at the bottom, it has the defendant's names. And the signature was by the lawyers for the clients. This was an appearance.
Mr. Gunzel, I'm going to call your e-filing argument novel, and maybe I'm incorrect about that. Obviously, around the country, everybody, states are moving into e-filing, have largely moved into e-filing. And of course, the federal government has been doing it for about 20 years. Do you have any cases that would back up your assertion about e-filing and waiver?
No, Your Honor, my point wasn't that e-filing is a voluntary appearance. My point was that the way our e-filing system works, the filing is by the party, not just by the lawyer. And I don't think there's any way the lawyer can just file something. But again, this document was the defendant's document. It was signed by their lawyers on their behalf, but that's the way all pleadings are signed.
Mr. Gunzel, you would agree, would you not, that that document did not contain the traditional language of a voluntary appearance, which says we voluntarily appear and waive service of process.
That's correct, Your Honor. And you're referring to form, this court's form DC 6:4.3, which is a form that was designed for a pro se litigant to file. And that pro se litigant, you might want to instruct that by filing this, you are doing these things. Lawyers should know that. Lawyers should understand the consequence of their actions. This was a voluntary appearance. It wasn't required. I'm not sure what else it could have been. And
do you have a definition you would propose we adopt for what constitutes a voluntary appearance?
I think if there is an express declaration of a party appearing, it should be a voluntary appearance. And this document is an appearance and it's a filing by the party. I don't know what else it can be. It's not a filing by the lawyer, it's a filing by the parties. And the Court of Appeals case I referred to as Clark versus Clark was decided by the Court of Appeals in 2018. No petition for further review. It was a published opinion. It became the law of this state for the district courts in Nebraska, including the Lancaster County District Court in 2020 when this case was dismissed. Clark versus Clark was a child support case filed by the father in Lancaster County District Court. He had his ex-wife and the mother served at an address in Wisconsin. She then sent a letter to the Lancaster County District Court. It said, "This was sent to my mother's address. Please don't send things there. Send them to my address." And then it complained about the father not paying much support and why are we even doing this? This did not ask for any relief. This didn't say I'm waiving anything, but the Nebraska Court of Appeals ruled that this waived personal jurisdiction, which is a higher bar than waiving service of process.
Didn't some of the materials in that letter test the merits, merits arguments?
I don't think it addressed the merits whatsoever. It said, I don't know why this is going on. He hasn't paid support in the past. I don't think he's gonna pay in the future. But that suit was whether a child
support. It said a lot more than just.
Yeah, it went on and on complaining about the father. But the suit was whether a Nebraska child support award should apply or a Wisconsin child support. This doesn't mention that. It doesn't ask for any relief. It doesn't ask for anything other than please send stuff to my address, which is pretty much what they did in this case. Anything that gets filed, we want notice of immediately.
Does our record show that the appellants ceased their efforts for service based upon the filing of the entry of appearance?
No, Your Honor, there's nothing. The record is a complaint, the appearance of counsel, and then the court's dismissal. That's all that's in the record. Your Honors, if you want to move to the implied voluntary appearance, I think this qualifies. The defendants pointed out in their brief 3 practical reasons why they would want to do this. I pointed out 1 or 2 more in my reply brief. They received a benefit from the authority of the court by filing their appearance of counsel. And that should rise to the level of an implied voluntary appearance. On that basis, Your Honors, we're going to request that this court reverse and dismiss, and I will reverse the dismissal and reinstate the case, and I'll reserve the balance of my time. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Mr. Hayes, you may approach and you may proceed.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the court, my name is Taylor Hayes, and I'm appearing today on behalf of the appellees, HBE LLP, and Michael Ahrens. The appellees respectfully request that this court affirm the district court's holding as to all respects, because the district court properly dismissed the complaint and denied appellant's motion to alter or amend the judgment. This was correct because the contents of the appearance of counsel at issue neither requested relief nor submitted to the authority of the court, nor otherwise constituted a voluntary appearance. As a result, the district court properly applied 25.516.01.
To build on one of Justice Papik's questions, are you arguing that an appearance that would constitute a voluntary appearance must contain magic words, I voluntarily appear and waive service of process, or are you conceding that some act can be a voluntary appearance even without that express language?
I would like to answer that question in sort of two parts. The first part is, to the extent that there is any magic language that would waive service and constitute a voluntary appearance, that language is essentially contained in this court's form voluntary appearance that opposing counsel referenced, 6.4.3, that they voluntarily appear, that they've received a copy of the complaint. So to the extent that there are magic words, it appears that those words would suffice. To the extent that there can be some sort of an implied waiver of service, it would have to be in the manner that this court has repeated for decades, that it requests some form of relief on an issue other than service or process or personal jurisdiction, or otherwise submit to the court. That is what this court has stated for decades constitutes a voluntary appearance when it specifically interprets 25.516.01.
And we said that's what constitutes a general appearance?
I believe the language, Your Honor, is that a voluntary appearance under 25.516.01 can be made by a general appearance. There is not a true equation of one to the other, but this court has been clear in looking to general appearance language or general appearance case law when interpreting what constitutes a voluntary appearance.
Well, you may be too young to remember it, but we used to have a special appearance statute. And under that rubric, it was pretty clear it was either an appearance was either general or it was specific. Special, general or special, but there was a dichotomy. The legislature repealed the special appearance statute, but left in place the voluntary appearance provision. How do we resolve whether our old case law really has any application at all to that existing statutory framework?
First, a special appearance and a general appearance are appearances of a party, not appearances or documents filed by counsel as the filing in this case was. And second, Your Honor,
they could be filed by a lawyer on behalf of a party, right?
Correct.
So then we get into the weeds of did you appear on behalf of the party? And I assume your argument is that you didn't, but perhaps you want to enlarge on that.
Certainly, Your Honor. This court has stated that a filing is given effect according to its contents, not its heading, not its signature block, not its certificate of service. And the content of the appearance of counsel at issue here was very clear that it listed the names for the attorneys that would, the attorneys of record for the appellees.
I want you to be clear about this. When we've said the content of the document, we've said that in the context of an argument that focused on the caption, but we've never said content doesn't include the caption or doesn't include the signature block, have we?
Not that I'm aware of, Your Honor, no.
So we'd look to the entire document and the signature block is part of the entire document, right?
Correct.
Okay.
If I may proceed a little bit further down this the path that Your Honor, has set us on here, I would like to state that the signature block used on this filing was a standard signature block that's used in this jurisdiction and generally comports with the rules and what's required for a signature block in this jurisdiction. Additionally, as opposing counsel referenced, though this argument I don't believe appeared anywhere in his briefing regarding e-filing a document, as Your Honor pointed out, to simply e-file a document, you must connect the filing to a specific party, otherwise the court won't accept it. So by simply listing the party's name in the signature block, the attorneys in this case did no more than what they did to simply e-file the document. They connected the document to a particular party as is required for it to be electronically filed.
Which is natural because they were lawyers for that particular party, right?
Yes, they were entering their appearance as counsel of record for the party.
One may assume from the record before us that the appellees were aware of the action against them at the time the entry of appearance was filed, correct?
I don't believe that's anywhere in the record, but
based upon the assumption for purposes of my next question, what is the purpose of the notice requirements or the serving of the appellees? I mean, why do we do that? Why do we serve the people who are being sued?
Well, it is very important, Your Honor, that service requirements are strictly followed. The laws of this state specify various ways that a party can be served, and those rules and ways that a party can be served signify the importance of being served with a complaint, the initiation of a lawsuit, having the party be put on notice that something is pending, and for them to understand the context in which they may take actions. As I alluded to earlier, the form voluntary appearance from this court's website states that the party filing that document has received a copy of the complaint. And that's very important because that allows the party to understand the context in which they are voluntarily appearing. When a party hasn't received the complaint in the manner that is specified by this court's rules, that requirement simply can't be met.
So is it your argument that because there's no admission of receiving a copy of the complaint, this is not a voluntary appearance? Is that the crucial piece?
No, Your Honor, that is one of many pieces that makes the appearance of counsel filed in this case not a voluntary appearance. The voluntary appearance form cites specifically to 25.516.01. It states that the party is making a voluntary appearance. Voluntary appearance is a capitalized term which signifies that it has a definition, namely the one given to it by this court. And then it goes on to state that a copy of the complaint has been received. So that is one way for voluntary appearance to occur. And clearly, all of those requirements are not in the appearance of counsel that's at issue here. In addition to that, as this court has previously stated in its interpretation of 25.516.01, there must be a request for relief or other submission to the court on issues of service or jurisdiction for something to constitute a voluntary appearance. Both of those components are wholly absent from the appearance of counsel at issue here.
So the waiver of formal service has to be contained with that as well.
If a party is going to file a document that in and of itself states that a voluntary appearance has been made, it appears based on the form that this court has provided that receiving a copy of the complaint is an important component of that. So in the absence of that, and in the absence of requesting relief, and in the absence of submitting to the court's authority, yes, I don't believe a document can constitute a voluntary appearance for purposes of 516.01.
When a lawyer enters a voluntary appearance in a case, is it fair to assume that the lawyer enters that appearance with the express consent of the client? Lawyers are just willy-nilly entering appearances in cases.
Correct, Your Honor.
If it is fair to assume that an entry of appearance by a counsel is made with the express consent of the client, what does that tell us in this case? What's the impact?
Your Honor, I don't believe there is a true earth-shattering impact of that because the client could go on to challenge service of process, could go on to challenge jurisdiction, simply selecting or hiring counsel and allowing them to receive notice through the justice system does not request any relief or otherwise contest anything on the merits of the case.
It indicates knowledge of the lawsuit, though.
At a very base level, yes.
Under our notice pleading scheme, isn't failure to serve the equivalent of an affirmative defense that must be raised?
It would be a defense that must be raised if a party is going to move to dismiss pursuant to that or otherwise preserve that argument. I see that I'm out of time, Your Honor. May it take a few moments to...
You may.
Sorry, I lost the question.
It was affirmative defense.
Right. In any event, Your Honor, affirmative defenses in this case aren't relevant because the district court below dismissed the case on its own motion. There was no need for any affirmative defenses or the party to preserve that argument in any way. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Do we have time for rebuttal?
2 seconds, Your Honor.
1 minute and 48 seconds, Mr. Gunzel.
Thank you, Your Honor. I can't cite the case, but I know one of the cases I read that Justice Castle authored indicated that the level necessary to waive service of process is very low. Clark versus Clark, this letter waived personal jurisdiction, which is a much, much higher bar. This is the equivalent of what the defendants filed in this case. Counsel said that they did not submit to the court's authority, but they did. If they would have later wanted to withdraw, they would have had to file a motion to withdraw. If any kind of motion was filed and a hearing set, they would have been expected to appear. They did submit to the court's authority, and they accepted the benefit of the court's e-filing justice system.
Let me ask you the converse. Would it be possible for a lawyer to enter appearance, but also make it clear that there is no voluntary appearance in the sense that there's a waiver of service?
I think that starts to get a little messy, but if I were trying to do that, what I would do is I would file and say, I'm entering my appearance for the defendant, and this is not a voluntary appearance, and the defendant does not waive service of process. That's what everything says. The first time you come into court, if you don't raise it, you've waived it. Justice Castle, you were talking about special appearances. We don't have those anymore, but we have kind of the remnants of it, because we have cases where if a party appears and doesn't raise lack of service, they have waived it. Or they may even raise lack of service, but then argue that the amount claimed by the plaintiff is wrong, and that waives it. It just doesn't take much to waive. Your Honors, my time is up. We respectfully request that the court remand this matter, reverse the dismissal, and allow this case to proceed. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Counsel, that concludes arguments in Stone Land and Livestock Company versus HBE LLP. You are excused, and the court will go on to the next case of the day.